This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.
It's time to take your place on the starting grid and get ready for Racer Radio. Your host, Dave Stahl, about to take you for a white-knuckled lap around the motorsports industry, covering everything from top-notch national drivers and crew chiefs right down to your local kid racers and racetracks. Watch for the apex, because here comes Racer Radio with Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. Brittany is out at Barona Oaks. She's going to call in at 3:45. But first, we want to thank Black Forest Motorsports for all of their support. 40 years experience doing BMW, Mini, and Porsches. Whether you're looking for a dealer alternative or maybe you want to go racing, either way, those are Black Forest Motorsports fortes. Go to blackforestmotorautomotive.com, blackforestautomotive.com. Talk to the team. Tell them you heard it right here on Racer Radio, and they will hook you up. Well, I am so thrilled to be able to chat with Norm DeWitt. Haven't talked to him in quite a while. He is a motorcycle, automotive, motorsport aficionado, and I tried to talk him into calling at 3:45, but there's a motorcycle race coming on, and he said no. So Brittany's going to call in at 3:45, so we get to chat with Norm. Hey, Norm, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, it's going great. And it's not just a motorcycle race. It's the Spanish MotoGP. It doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yes. So you got your popcorn, you got your Kool-Aid, you're ready.
Oh, yeah, man. And my old friend Jorge Lorenzo, multiple world champion, was inducted as a MotoGP legend yesterday at Jerez, Spain. So,
wow.
More power to him. He's a great man. He's now retired, but I guess he's coming back as a correspondent. So,
but isn't that nice they induct somebody into the Hall of Fame while they're still with us?
Oh, well, the MotoGP legend thing is a really cool thing. And I know the only one I was at one when Nicky Hayden was inducted, but that was after his passing, so the whole family was there and stuff. It's definitely not the same as when
he's there.
The rider's still alive.
Right.
So. But today was, it's May 1st, and for those of us that are older than dirt, most of us think it's opening day at Indianapolis. All the cars were in Alabama today.
Yeah.
So today in Alabama, the top three drivers were all 25 or years old or younger.
I know. Can you believe it? I mean, I was so surprised. Like Powers, I mean, he used to be a powerhouse. I mean, he was always in the top five. But no, he was
today too.
Oh, did he make it to the top five?
Will put in a hell of a drive, and he went from something like 19th up to
fourth or fifth
in the end. I think it was fifth, but okay. More power to him. And, there's a lot of really great up and coming racers. Like, for example, Alex Palou, who won the championship last year and at Long Beach last year. You know, the two of us were just standing around talking at the media thing, and nobody else seemed to even know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a rider out of Spain, a racer out of Spain, and he's the IndyCar champion, for God's sakes. Today he was right up there again, and it's definitely heading to a changing of the guard.
Right.
There's one really talented racer out of Christchurch, New Zealand, Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah,
and he won the season opener down in Fort Lauderdale. Excuse me, that's Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. At outside Tampa, St. Petersburg.
So
it's definitely a changing in the guard. You're still going to have some of the old greats like Scott Dixon that are hanging in there with a shot, but
Helio Castroneves.
Helio's still there, and he's driving well. You know, hey, he's a four-time winner of the Indy 500, and he's going for the one for the thumb club.
But the kids are coming. The kids are coming. I mean, all you got to do is take a look, and they're just right around the corner.
Yeah, he was twice the age of some of these guys.
I know. And, you know, you see the same thing in NASCAR. You don't see it so much in NHRA, but you see it, it's starting to happen in NASCAR. You're seeing it in IndyCar. And so let me ask you a question. What do you think Jimmy Johnson is going to do for 23? Is he going to continue?
He'll be tremendous on the ovals. He already was great in Texas,
right?
In his first oval race, I think he finished sixth.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a factor at Indianapolis. It's just, you know, he's a tremendously talented racer,
without a doubt.
But it's going to be it's an awful tough road for him to take on some of these 23-year-old kids in road racing. I don't know if that's going to work out as well as he'd like, but once he gets onto ovals, which he is, you know, with all of his experiences, he's going to be a factor.
Yeah, because he looked like he was struggling. The little I got to watch before I came to radio, I mean, he was literally getting pushed out of the way by some of the faster kids in the back, and you know, and that was kind of sad.
Pushed out of the way because he was getting lapped.
Yeah, well, that was my polite way of saying he was getting lapped.
Well, and you know, that's not entirely true. What was happening is he was running in, I think, next to last,
right?
And people would come in and do a pit stop on a three-stop strategy,
right?
So that would lever them back to behind him. So they were out there on red tires with, you know, which is the softs.
Right.
And he's out there on a different strategy on, you know, semi-dead tires.
Yeah. So why would you do it?
Make him look bad.
Why would you do a three-stop when you had the opportunity to do a two-stop?
Well, it all comes down to lap time, and it all comes down to strategy.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes you're the fly, and sometimes you're the windshield, and you're going to find out real quick. You know, it screwed up all the three-stop guys today when they had a yellow flag came out when a British guy got stuck in the gravel trap.
I seen that.
You know,
Newgarden.
There was a few minutes there in that race today. I was looking down the list of everybody, and at one point there was one American running in the top 10.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's how it finished out, or top 8. One American, and that was Graham Rahal.
Wow.
So, you know, it truly is an international series. I mean, you know, Pato O'Ward from Mexico won, and second place was Alex Palou of Spain, and third place was Rinus VK of the Netherlands. I mean, and then you had the two Kiwis with Scott McLaughlin and Scott Dixon. It's Australia's Will Power. I mean, it really is as international as Formula One.
Well, do you think it's because the kids that are not in the U.S. get more seat time than the drivers here in the U.S.? Do you think that might be the reason?
I think a lot of the reason is, around the world, everyone wants to be in Formula One or MotoGP.
Mm-hmm.
And in the United States, everybody wants to do circle track and race at Daytona.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And so, they don't get
you know, all these kids that want to race at Monaco and Monza might end up migrating over here and dominate our IndyCar series because the guys that are the more inclined for oval racing all head into stock cars.
Yeah. Well, and you know, that's always been the goal of motorsports, is to try to make it international, where, you know, both sides of the pond, you know, gets their fans excited, because it's always good for the bottom line of whatever series they're getting themselves into. But
when I was younger, the big goal was Americans going to Europe and winning world championships.
Right, and that's not really happening.
We had our guys like Dan Gurney and you know,
Phil,
Mario Andretti out there running in Formula One. And you know, it's been, to give you an idea how long it's been, last week in Portugal at Portimão, the Moto2 race, which is the it's one step down from MotoGP, basically the feeder series for MotoGP. And an American, Joe Roberts, won the race.
Wow.
And he was the first American to win an intermediate class Grand Prix, which would be 250 GP and now is called Moto2. Yeah, he was the first American to win an intermediate class GP since 1990.
Jeez Louise. All right, buddy. Well, I can't believe to tell you this, but the segment's over. See, that's why I was going to make it come on the next one, but that's okay. You go curl up on the couch and enjoy the MotoGP, and I'm glad you haven't seen it because I'm taping it.
Yeah. I'm just watching the Moto2 highlights right now.
All right, buddy. You take care. It's always a thrill talking to you.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a quick break, and I think Dirt Dude is on the line. He better call. He said he was going to call. Right here on Racer Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170. The Answer. All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to Racer Radio, FM 96.1. AM 1170, The Answer. This segment's brought to you by El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better than El Cajon Ford. Inventory starting to climb, new and used. So when you're ready to pull the trigger, go to ElCajonMotors.com. Tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. And thank them for supporting Racer Radio every week. And with that being said, Dirt Dude is on the line. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
What's up, man? Super busy trying to figure out how to cover everything I got going on.
That's why I did a commercial super short, because I have a feeling you were jamming last night.
Oh, man, there was so much going on. It was so good. Everything really clicked last night. Weather was perfect. Car counts were good. A couple were kind of low, but the racing was just super good. We went through a lot, and there's a lot to cover for this coming up. So our race last night was great. Today we had go-karts at the track, and they're trying to do that once a month now. They're going to have go-karts at the track on Sunday.
Oh.
Bring your own or rental.
Really?
So, yeah, you can ride and drive.
Sweet.
So
on the infield or on the big track?
On the infield.
A road course or a circle?
Circle.
Okay.
Dirt oval.
Cool.
So dirt carts.
Yeah.
Our junior drivers are going to be at El Cajon Cruise Night next week on Wednesday. Next weekend at Cocoa Puff Speedway, May 17th, Mike Corn Memorial, every main event's 44 laps for his number 44. Mm. They're featuring IMCA mods, sport mods, hobby stocks, sport compacts. And then the weekend after that, May 14th, we'll be back at our track, IMCA mods, sport mods, Southwest Lightning Sprints, street stocks, and pony stocks. And then the last race at Cocoa Paw for the summer break, or going into their summer break, will be May 21st.
Mm-hmm.
ASCS Winged Sprints, Brayona Pure Stocks. Our Pure Stocks are going to be out there, hobby stocks, sport compacts. And then we'll come back to our track again. So, like, it's good racing there for those weeks. Our lineup last night, we had in our junior sprints, Daniel Friel, she's been on your show before, got a main event win. Cody Isabella got a main event win in the Sportsman Mini Dwarfs. That was like his second, maybe even his third.
Yeah.
Sheldon Scott in the Masters Mini Dwarf got his first main event win. On to the big track, Darren Brown got a main event win, which was pretty phenomenal. I mean, like, he's always doing really good at our track. They started out, track was really, really good for them. It was a little wet, but it started rolling in towards the end. And, man, it was just a good battle. Brittany, hats off to that woman. She finished fifth out of all those guys. She ran second for a while, too.
So yeah.
Brittany did really good last night. On to the next one was Southwest Lightning Sprints. They came with wings. Grant Sexton got a main event win. And, dude, they freight trained. The top three cars, they were just like, I didn't get the timing and scoring on them, but they were so fast. That's the fastest those guys have ever been at our track. And it was just like, Grant got down at the end, and I was like, man, this track was hooked. And they were running mid to almost – just out of the mid of the corners. And then just, he's like, I matted it and I never lifted. And I had guys on my tail.
Wow.
So it was just, yeah, Brendan Schimonte and Jeremy Queener. Those three were just coming up through traffic and like splitting cars. It was just so crazy how fast they were and going through traffic. Into Sport Compacts, Chris Neamy had his little Ford Focus, got a main event win. Macy Constance, hands to that girl. She's 14 years old. She got second. And then Marcy McCowan, our racing realtor, she pulled off a fourth in that one.
All right.
So that was really good for her. And then into the modifieds, PJ Dyke got a main event win. So that's his first one. He has a second and a third through the season. And then IMC Hobbystocks, Thomas Daffrin came up out of Brawley for a main event win. And then on to our last one of the night was the Pure Stocks, Rick Chavez. We turned them around backwards, and they ran a great main event. Rick Chavez got a main event win in the Pure Stocks. Trying to see what else I need to cover. We had with our juniors and everything, we had over 104 cars, so about over 100 cars. Our hot lap session, we did the heat races, 104 cars, and we did all hot lap sessions in an hour and 7 minutes.
No, kind of just kidding.
We smoked through that, and then into the main event. Some crazy car fires last night. Everyone's okay. Ken McWilliams had a fuel pump leak or fuel hose leak, fuel rail, caught the car on fire, and it went up. Tough break for him. He's going to work on trying to find another car, but he got a car okay. And then we had another car that had a car fire, small motor fire. So our fire and rescue guys are busy last night. All but, right. Man, it was just a great night of racing. That track really came together, and we're hoping it's going to – you know, get better in the future once we get it figured out on how to really dial in this track and keep the moisture in it and everything.
Oh, I don't know. Everybody that I talked to said that track was hooked up. Brittany said that was the best night she said she's had, and she couldn't remember. I mean, she sent me some videos, and I mean, she was first for a while there. I mean, she was just really doing well, and then finished fifth. And there were some pretty heavy hitters.
Her heat race and her main event. She was running against Darren Brown in the heat race and was running with him. Actually was leading, and then, you know, you're not going to stop Darren. But Darren got in front of her, and then so she just got behind him and figured out how he was going to run. And I think she just went to school and learned how to get that car to rotate better like she needs.
Well, you probably wouldn't have known this, but she had power steering issues again last night. So the power steering went out on her. I don't know which races she was in. So she's thinking it's some kind of an electrical issue. So they've got to get that ironed out. Because I bet you if that power steering hadn't failed, she would have been higher up on the standings.
I couldn't even tell that she was having power steering problems. That car just looked really good. Yeah. And that wasn't Darren Brown in the E race. It was Mike Tobiasen, the 88 Mike Tobiasen. I'm looking back at the notes, and it was like, man, she had a good heat race. She came in second in the heat race, started it, but then, like I said, Tobiasen's got a couple main event wins.
Yeah.
Brittany's there. She's just getting that car finally figured out, and the track's coming together, and, you know, it's just – one of those things, just time will tell.
Well, seat time. That's all it is. And the more she does, the better off it is. But it's really good to see people like Marcy and some of the folks that have just gotten into running out of Barona do well, because that's what's going to, you know, keep that track alive and well and keep everybody happy.
Yeah, I'm glad that, you know, the Marcy McCowan got into this, and that was like her second race.
Yeah.
And to do as well as she did. And it's in a sport compact. That just gives you a testament of how the group is, and then, you know, how they're doing with it. Macy Constance, like I said, 14 years old, and she's been there. She's been like, I said she did really great last night, and her dad's like, she's been really great. She hasn't got a main event win, but she's always in the top two or three.
Sure.
And, you know, her time's coming too.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of time. And then once it happens, and, you know, then the floodgates, sort of speaking. So when's the next race and what's on the calendar?
The next race for us is going to be May 14th. And same thing. Gates open at 2, and then racing starts at 6-ish. And then that's going to be, like I said, Sport Mods. Modified Sport Mods, Southwest Lightning Sprints are coming back again. I think they're wingless this time. They were winged last night. They're going to be wingless again. The street stocks, pony stocks, and then once again, the next two races at Cocoa Paw. If you're looking for something to do, it could be a great night, especially the Mike Korn Memorial. Mm-hmm. I got invited to go to that. I want to see if I can, you know, get my schedule cleared. If not, I'd really like to go out there for sprint cars on the 21st. Mm-hmm. I missed last night. Sprint cars ran at Paris with us. I'm not sure who's calling in from Paris tonight or for today for you.
Yeah.
But they had a really good race there, too. The track was the best they've ever seen, too. So
yeah, I got a Matt Mitchell's calling in, and he had a win last night. And did Sexton had a really bad wreck. I don't know what track he was at.
He was at Paris last night, and he wadded the car up on the front straightaway. He said he started somewhere flag stand and didn't stop to hit turn one. front of the car is gone.
Yeah.
He's already going to build a car. He's already got a chassis they're building for it and have to replace it. So it was bummed. Good to see. I'm glad to see he got out of the car. His cousin's Grant Sexton that was at our track last night. So, you know, it's just,
I bet he was dizzy. What do you want to bet he was dizzy?
I haven't seen the video yet. I'm hoping to see some. I saw pictures of the car afterwards. Matt Hicks from our track, main event win last night in modified there at Paris 2. So,
all right.
Yeah, it was a good night for them, too. They're just hoping for a good season everywhere. A lot of great racing.
Yeah. Well, and it just, you know, it's that COVID pent-up mentality. I mean, look how good Brittany's doing. I mean, man, all of a sudden there's a fire under that girl. I mean,
I think it's just she's finally, you know, stepped up into the car and got it dialed in and figured out that she's been working with everyone from the B&B crew.
Right.
Like all these guys that have B&B chassis. Like there was three or four of them last night, B&B chassis, and they're good cars. They were all up there in the front.
Well, I think the fact that she's getting behind some really, really good drivers, and she's just settling in and learning and following and watching where they go and watch what they do. And, you know, and I think once she gets this, you know, this power steering thing, you know, taken care of, you know, I would not be surprised if she doesn't, you know, podium and / winner race. I really do.
I see her being there soon. Yeah. She's got the capability to be there.
Yep. Yep. Well, I said,
El Cajon Ford, I got to thank El Cajon Ford, one of our sponsors here. El Cajon, next Wednesday night cruising, our junior drivers are there.
Sweet.
And then, you know, we got a lot going on. So everyone just check out Brona Speedway on Facebook, bronaspeedway.com, or follow along on my Dirt Dude page on Facebook.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, thank you very much for calling in. Sure appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too, buddy.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more motorsports with Paris Auto Speedway and Matt Mitchell right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back to Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. This segment is brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. Paris Auto Speedway, that is a bucket list track. If you have not been, you have got to go. Racing last night was unbelievable. Go to parisautospeedway.com. And one of the winners last night is on the line, Matt. Matthew, how you doing, buddy? Or Mitchell, sorry about that.
Pretty good. How are you?
So
thanks
you
for having me.
Still on cloud nine?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since I won there in my 37 car, so it's been since 2014. So
wow.
Feels good.
So everything just lined
up. Other cars,
yeah,
one in some other cars, but in my family car, it's been a minute, so it feels pretty good.
So did everything just kind of come together, or did you have to work extra hard for it?
No, we've been working at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of just getting. Kidding. I took a little break. I had some kids and took a break from the sport, and then got the blessing from my wife to do it again. So we, you know, equipment up and got stuff and got a new crew chief and new equipment and new everything.
Wow.
And then we kind of just been dialing on it since then, and finally all came together.
Yeah. And it was pretty wild last night. One of the San Diego boys had a little bit of a end over end, roll over roll going down the front straightaway. Thank goodness walked away just fine, but destroyed the car.
Yeah, that happens. I've been there.
Yeah, but these cars are there. Wouldn't you say these cars today are so safe? I mean, everything that you guys put into these cars really makes it doable, and it takes the fear out of it, because I mean, unless something really oddball happens, I mean, 9 times out of 10 you're going to walk away.
Yeah, and for the most part, like the fabrications that, you know, improved, and then, you know, the safety aspect of it is way better than it was, even 10 years ago.
So yeah.
They're making rubber mounted, you know, grommet mounted seats, and, you know, all the full containment seats with the, you know, high density foam around them and everything. Even compared to when I started racing in 06, and it was just a typical high back seat, full containment. It's changed a lot, which is good. That's what it needed, because the worst thing for the sport is to lose somebody.
Yeah.
Doing it, you know. So, but I think it's been quite a long time since we've, you know, a couple, three years since we lost somebody doing the sport. So,
That is definitely a good thing. So now that you're back in the seat, you're going to stay at Paris, or are you going to move around a little?
No, I'll run all the Paris races.
Okay.
That's been like my home track.
And right.
Where, you know, a lot of my development as a race car driver has come from that track.
So, right.
You know, I'll stay there, and I hope to go do some other things here and there. I have a midget, so.
Oh, okay.
The midget. Yeah, I'll go race the midget here and there, and then just follow the CRA schedule for now. And we don't have a ton of equipment, so like I said, it's kind of like a startup, and we were just kind of spot racing for a while. But I hope to get some more and you know, run the whole schedule as long as everything stays together. But I don't have a second motor. I have a second car, but, you know, as long as the engine stays together and everything's kosher, we'll run the whole season.
Right. Well, unless you're like AJ Bender and Cruz Pendergon says, hey, how would you like to go to Chili Bowl?
Yeah.
Was that crazy or what?
No, that's awesome. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
I mean, new, like, talent like that. I mean, you got AJ's done a great job.
Yeah.
Like, he's impressed me. He's impressed a ton of people. So for him to get those opportunities is rad to see. That's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. I was so happy for him. Because, I mean, nobody deserves – he truly deserved it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
No, he's a good racer on top of it. Deserving it and being a good racer, like, there's people that deserve it and that aren't good racers. So
yeah, that's true too.
For him to be a good racer and deserve it.
Have you ever seen him not smile?
Oh no. I mean, you smile at him with those locks. I mean, you look at him and you cannot smile until he smiles back.
I know. I swear. There should be a movie made of him. I really seriously believe it.
Yeah. No, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. Yeah. So he's worked hard.
Yeah.
He's worked hard doing what he's done. And I told him last year at the end of the year, I said, you'll win a race at Paris.
Yeah.
For sure. This year, next, you know, when it happens, it happens. But he's got what it takes to get it done.
Yeah. 100%. It's funny. I was talking to another guy on the top of the hour about motorsports, and you know, and it seems like the younger generation is really starting to, you know, creep to the top, whether it be NASCAR, whether it be Indy Racing League. Are you starting to see that, like at Paris? Are you starting to see a younger group of drivers kind of starting to move their way up?
Yeah, the
Yeah, I mean, it just takes some time because, like, you're talking about the younger generation, like ARCA and some of those, you know, that's like 80% car, 20% driver,
mm-hmm.
I feel like. And what we do is the opposite. You know, you're like 40% car, 60% driver.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a while to, like, develop a driver to where they could put and it took a long time for me to really put it all together, too. I didn't develop as a driver overnight. I worked really hard at it
mm-hmm.
for a long time. And it's just different. Does that make sense? There's a lot more to it to race a sprint car. Like you could take a subpar car and turn it into, you know, a victory. You know,
yeah.
So that's what separates.
But that's not easy. That's
in ARCA and uh-huh. all those the pavement series. Like that's all car.
Yeah,
that's all car. Like any good sprint car racer, I feel like could go out and run an ARCA car and do really well.
Yeah, well, and you know, seat time is everything. I mean, you can't, seat time is everything. The more you're in the seat, you know, the better off you are.
Oh, 100%. And that's what we need. We need those kids out there because that's what's next. You know, but it takes time.
Yeah,
it takes time. You know, it's especially, I feel like as racing a sprint car, like as you get older and you mature, you actually become better to a certain extent. You know, that was the progression for me at least. So, you know, as long as these guys keep coming, I feel like it'll sustain itself. You know, the sprint car racing in Southern California.
Yeah.
There's plenty of good talent. There's plenty of good talent coming up.
So I got to tell you my sprint car story. So I'm sure you know Randy Waitman runs out of Ramona. So one day he was out at Barona just practicing, and I was out there. And he goes, "Hey, you want to drive my car?" I go, "You want me to drive your car?" And I go, "Okay, on two conditions." He goes, "What's that?" "One, I'm by myself, and two, if I wad it up, I don't have to pay for it." He goes, "Sure, go ahead." So he tells me all the things you're supposed to do. And, of course, I didn't pay attention to any of them. I just stood on it. And it was like a bull coming out of a chute. Did about 10 laps. I came in. And he goes, "Dang, dude." He says, "You did pretty good." He always goes, "Well, hey, let me go out again and I'll open my eyes." Because that was the wildest thing I have ever done in my life. And I've done a lot of stuff. And just imagine 20 guys out there doing the same thing. Dude, I mean, I have major props for you and what you do because it is not easy. There's nothing easy about it. But, hey, I got to talk about your sponsors because they're the ones that get you there. Who you got?
Yeah, I mean, a ton of people helped us get to this point. You know, obviously my family is a big supporter in it. My dad, Campbellburg Storage, and Roy Miller Freight Lines, Wiley Miller. He's bought us an engine and
wow.
You know, got us going. And Maxwell Industries, they house the car and keep care of the car for me. You know, which helps me because I have three kids and
sure.
a job, and you know, so working on the car for me now it just wasn't going to happen. So, that, and then, you know, all the product sponsors and stuff, FK Rod End helps us out a ton. And, you know, we got ARP, which is a Ventura based company that helps us out. And there's, you know, FK Shocks and just everybody, you know, it's like really getting the cars like dialed and tuned in is, you know, and working with the product sponsors is a big deal. So all those guys have helped out, and it just makes it all doable. So
well, the only reason I do that is because I get a lot of young kids in here. They're 8, 9, 10 years old, just starting out, and I hound them on talking about your sponsors. I don't care who interviews you, You got to get your sponsor list in there, because without them, like you said, you wouldn't be able to do this. And you know, I tell them to put it on a little 3x5 card and carry with you everywhere you go. That way, you don't miss anybody. And you know, I think it's so important. I mean, because
definitely.
And it's a feather in your cap, because if you weren't one a good person and two a good driver, and I have to put it in that order, you wouldn't get any help. You would just be staring at the track from the grandstands, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I know for sure. And there was a time that I was young and didn't think I was that age, and I didn't have the respect for what went into it, you know, because I started racing in 06.
Yeah.
And I respected what the work that went into it, but
right.
The money aspect of it,
yeah.
I didn't really understand any of that, and I still raced and
yeah.
and did well, and but it took you know, some maturity to really understand like the money aspect, yeah. that goes into it.
You don't know? You hate that?
And all the sponsors and everything that backs it. So
don't you hate getting old?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, yeah. I gotta let you go. Yeah. The segment's over.
Yeah, thank you. Hey. I appreciate you guys having me.
Oh no, we'll have you anytime you like.
Every, you know, they have us every year. It's Donnie Kazarian, Scott DeLucchio, all those guys.
They're the best.
They're yeah, for sure.
And Scott will get you a copy of this interview, and you can put it on your web page or whatever you want to do. And what number car you got?
37 blue tank, black body.
All right, buddy. Good luck, and right. Hope you do as well as you did this time, but I got a sneaky feeling you will. Take care, buddy.
All righty. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. I think Brittany's on the line. I think, yeah, Brendan's in there chatting with her, probably sharing a recipe. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. All right, folks, welcome back. This is Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer. The segment's brought to you by Certified Car Clinic. Check them out. They have an in-house dyno. They'll work on anything you have and make sure whatever they do, they can prove it. Check them out at CertifiedCarCare.net, CertifiedCarCare.net. All right, Brittany's out playing hooky at a dirt track, but for motorcycles. Getting hugs and kisses. You killed me.
I wasn't warned ahead of time about that.
It didn't look like it broke your heart any, though.
Oh, boy. Man, anybody who loves the smell and the sounds of racing, you're missing out if you're not at the Verona Oaks race. Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful out here. Nice breeze, sunny skies.
And great.
It's like a living museum.
And great. Racing. These people, you'd think they were at a supercross track.
Oh, yeah. You know, I talked to Scott Burnworth.
Yeah.
He says he had about 240 entries. 17 different divisions are running, and they each get to race twice.
Wow.
They raced earlier, and now they're all going through their second round of racing.
Did you see how far and how high these guys were flying?
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. It is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm watching it right now. I'm over by the junior track,
uh-huh.
because there's full racing going on the big track right now. So I'm watching air. Saw Saki get some air.
It was crazy. Those videos you sent me, oh my gosh.
I couldn't help myself. So there's a guy out here.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and get him in for the listeners. He is going around and finding the oldest Husqvarnas. I want to have him on with Lars when he gets back in town. And he's reconditioning them. He had at least 7 of them at the racetrack right now.
What?
And he's got this guy. He's racing a 1974 original, like nothing altered, like barely any suspension. And that kid caught my eye. Like it kind of worked well for him. He caught my eye out on the racetrack, and then I followed him to the pits before I knew the story behind it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, and this is a young kid who's deciding he wants to race in 1974. And I guess they're called the Bullet. I don't know. The listeners probably know more than I do. I'm learning out here.
Yeah.
Some of the oldest bikes, it was not many of them were made, this Bullet, and he's gone around and found most of them.
Wow.
And he's reconditioning them and bringing them around the tracks, and he's got some riders for him. He was kind of in race mode, so I was talking to one of the crew members about it.
Don't you hate it when you're in race mode?
No, I understand it. I totally get it. So that's why I stood back. I was in race mode last night. And then, like, all motorcycle fans, racers should be out here. Mike Brown's out here. I talked to him. That's the guy kissing me.
Yeah, I know. I know.
And I just met Michael Lewis, who I've been following on Facebook. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Michael Lewis. And then I met Michael Craig, Christian Craig's father.
Oh, yeah.
He's back on the bike racing here. I mean, it's like a living museum right now.
Wow.
They had a whole class of CZs out there.
No
kidding. It's so cool. Yeah, I'm having such a great time. Thank you for letting me play.
Oh, for you, anything. But, you know, I had a bunch of them on KUSI Saturday, and that was like a museum.
It did look like a museum. They were all propped up and beautiful.
Beautiful. So how were the crowds? Did Bron Oaks get a pretty good crowd count?
Yeah. I talked to Scott and his wife, whom, by the way, she's on the microphone regularly. She's the one that came in the studio like, I can't talk on a microphone. I took a picture. I have evidence she can.
I had a feeling.
They're both happy. I think it's very successful. Like I said, 240 entries.
Jeez Louise. So
they're happy. The pits are beautiful, as I heard, and filled. We're up. We had to find space out here by the junior track.
Right. Well, tell him. Please. Tell Scott if you see him before you leave. Just tell him that Dave says, you know, KUSI is open for him anytime he wants it.
All righty. I'll let him know. Yeah, I'll see him again before we leave. Tomahawk was out here. Like, sorry, listeners and Dave. You missed out if you didn't make it. But I'm sure with the success today, it'll happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, on a Saturday, hopefully. But Saturday,
running yesterday.
Yeah, but Saturday, according to the people I talked to, Saturday was party day, and Sunday's hardcore race day.
Yeah, they're semi-serious. One of my dad's friends, he's racing out here, and he didn't know about a second race. He thought he was done. He's about to break out the sandwich and the beer, and his buddy walks up and goes, you know there's a second race, and he goes, well, now I do. Yeah,
that is
I
so.
That cool. Conversation, it was hilarious.
And by the way,
it's been really fun.
By the way, you didn't get to hear Racer the Dirt Dude segment, but
correct.
He said you were on a rail last night. And
I had a pretty good night.
And when I told him that you were having power steering problems, he said, "There's no way I would have known that as well as she was running."
I'll take that as a compliment. Yeah, it was weird. It kept going out, and we were running for a while. Well, there were like a million cautions. I think my dad says we were 12 minutes into the race before we finally got a real lap.
Yeah.
Anywho, we finally got going, and I was thankful for the first caution because it gave me a chance to flip it off, flip it back on, and it would last a lap or two, and then it was gone. It was like I was stuck in cement. But then there was another caution. I'd flip it off, flip it back on. So, yeah, some sort of electrical thing.
Yeah.
But I was able to hold my own. I mean, people can race without it. It was just, it's an odd feeling when you get used to power steering, and then all of a sudden it's gone. You're like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
But this time I knew it was the power steering. It wasn't anything else on my front end. So I knew to just keep racing hard.
Well, he said, and I agree with him, he said it's just a matter of time. He says, he says, that's a new driver and a new car. And I said, and he agreed with me. It's just a matter of time. The more seat time, the more confidence, you're going to win one of these. I just know it.
That'd be fun. I did almost win a heat race. Tobias and got me in the last half of the lap.
I know you.
By like not even a second. It was a photo finish. But, you know, I thanked him for a clean pass.
Yeah.
I went right up to him, and he goes, thank you for the clean pass. I know you were probably waiting. He goes, waiting? You were freighting. You were going fast. I had to work to get around you. And so,
see?
You know, when you hear that from him and Darren Brown, you know, and all these people coming up, it's like, thank you. I appreciate your feedback.
Well,
yeah, I'm having a great time.
So I'm going to call your principal Monday and tell him you got to stay on her butt. Because
there's enough drama right now.
Yeah, but look how good you drive. But look.
No, there's plenty. There's plenty, David. There is plenty to fuel my rage on the track.
So leave the phone alone.
Yeah. But we had 17 drivers, and it was really good to see our class. And Marcy. Did you
yes.
Marcy?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I see her in tech. I went and ran and go see her race, and I'm like, she can't, like, I saw her position, you know, by the time I got to the race, everyone's kind of spread out. But I'm like, she's gaining.
Yes.
Nobody's gaining on her. And then I see her coming to tech, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Second race ever.
And she, I think she finished fourth.
Yes.
Is that?
Or go to tech.
Is that amazing?
I'm so happy for her. Yeah. So happy for her. And then PJ Dyke, right? He did really well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He
won.
Last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he said, they started with six and ended with three, but Paul said those three were heavy hitters.
Yeah, yeah. How'd Paul Dyke do?
I saw him on a little motorcycle. I didn't see him race. I don't know if he raced. I don't know if his division raced. I was in race mode mostly.
Yes, of course you course you were.
It was a beautiful night. You know, it wasn't too hot or too cold for the spectators.
Uh-huh.
Or the driver.
Did you bring your
good night.
Did you bring your cookies?
I did, and I have three left, and they're right here at Barona Oaks with me.
Are they not the biggest, fattest things? Or did I send those to you before?
No, I've never seen it, and I handed one over to my crew, and they're like, "What is this? It's like so heavy.
I know,
bigger than your hand, and tall and wide." And
I know. Well, I got them on a press event back east. You know, they just had them in our room, and I ate one. And I'm like, holy, I got to take a nap.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I can't eat a whole one.
No.
I had a half one the night I got them, and the half of the morning I warmed it up. All right.
By the way,
so
folks.
Say the name of it.
It's a Livian?
Levain.
Or Levain. Hey, by the way, folks, Brittany's going to run Racer Radio with her and her mom next Sunday. Make sure you tell your friends and tune in. All right, get back to the action, kid, and thank you very much for calling in. You know I appreciate you.
Play hooky.
All right, have fun.
It. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye, listeners. Bye, Brendan. Bye, Dave.
Okay, see you. Racer Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170, The Answer.
This program is sponsored by Dave Stahl.